not necessarily talking about this in the mainstream media. Is that correct? Or
that's correct. And I have to say that there are a few of the, you know, I appreciate your show because you want to know the truth. And I'm willing to tell you as much as I know. I don't work for any government agency, and nobody signs my paycheck. You know, it's just a cash and carry business with me. And I have a passion for helping people. And I'm really, really unhappy with the government. Do you know that Switzerland spent 25% of its GDP over a period of 20 years to provide civil defense facilities for their population, whether they were at work or at home? And they just finished that in the last 15 years. Do you know that Russia is drilling tunnels into the Ural Mountains, which are the mountains which are west of Moscow, which is the big population center, has a place to go. Population has a place to go in case of a, I'm going to say either a natural or a man-made disaster. A mass casualty event is the way we talk about it in emergency services. Now, what have we done? We have, one, we have set up North Command. Now, it used to be that we had... I have to take a drink a minute. Drink some water. Used to be we didn't have Northern Command. Northern Command covers North America. So that's Alaska, Canada, United States, and Mexico. It does not cover Central America or South America. That's Southern Command. Southern Command is responsible for the Caribbean, Central America, and South America. Now, although the previous administrations and the current administration have decided to ignore the claims that global warming is changing things, they are preparing for continuity of government. I mean, they know what's going to happen. It's just that if you work for them, you don't tell anybody. And so they've set up this plan called continuity of government. And that what that means is that the Department of Defense will protect every elected official, I think down to mayor, and their family. And they have set up underground facilities to put people into so that they will be able to maintain government if a natural disaster or a man-made disaster should occur. So that's what we've done. Now, I am very angry that we don't have a civil defense plan for the rest of our population. And so I'm trying to get the word out there. People, there are things that you can do. If you don't have a basement, start digging a root cellar. The people that are in government are going underground. And, you know, you just look at what they're doing, and then you do what you can to mimic them. I mean, maybe you won't have an underground bunker, but at least you can get underground.
Well,
and so that's the kind of advice that I give. I try to make it practical. I try to say, you know, this is what I heard, and this is what they're doing, and this is what we can do.
Okay, so then you have, before we finish the Fukushima thing and the radiation that, you know, is being, you know, passing around the planet now, then you're starting to hear, now I have to wonder if these nuclear plant events have been going on all along, but now you're starting to hear more about them. What do you think of that?
Well, okay. The shelf life for a nuclear plant was 30 years, and that was 50 years ago. And of course, the government changed. We now have what the president calls cooperative capitalism. Well, what is cooperative capitalism? That's a term for when the government works closely with industry, And
they call that fascism, I thought, but
well, yes. And if you put that in one of your emails, you're going to end up on a list because they route all emails through a center now, and some computer picks out all of the email addresses of people who use that word.
Well, I think they're tied into phone calls and everything else.
Well, that too.
So.
Yeah, I think you're right, because AT&T is very tight with the government. I mean, I've got to tell you this. I just got to tell, well, no, we'll save it for another time. We'll talk about the seasons another time. But AT&T is very close with the government, and so anything that goes out over U-verse or telephone lines,
right.
you know, they've got it. So what we want to do is we can survive what is coming, but we have to be smart. We have to look and see what other people are doing. I mean, it's the story of the ant and the grasshopper. You know, the grasshopper fiddled away his time, and the ant stored up food. Well, we need to be preparing for what is coming. I mean, the government is preparing, and my understanding is that while the Department of Defense is protecting the elected officials so that the government can continue to operate, what's going to happen in the cities is that it's going to be a war between the gangs and the police.
Now, that wouldn't surprise me in the least bit, because even when you listen to, when I think it was Maurice Strong speaking to the Rio Summer, he was to the saying something to the effect of reducing, bringing the developed countries down to third world status, and that's kind of what happens in third world countries, right?
Well, that's right, and we already see it in Mexico and along our southern border, and even further north. I mean, there's human trafficking all along the East Coast, from Florida to New York. We know it. We don't do anything about it, but we know it.
Mm-hmm.
There's the dumbing down of the schools. You know, it was a race to the bottom. No child left behind. But what happened?
To the bottom?
You know, we raced to the bottom. We have people now that can't make change. You know, if they don't have a calculator in front of them, they can't make change. We have people that can't read a clock, an analog clock, can't tell time with a clock. You know, if we're getting to the point now where the next generation, and that generation is already into adulthood, are going to be very, I'm going to say, malleable. They're going to do what they're told because they don't know any different.
And again, you have to wonder if that isn't by design.
Well, there is some thought, and I have heard that on the John Moore show and on Dr. Deagle's show, that we know that we passed the capacity of the Earth to feed the population in the 1990s. I mean, that was published data. Came out of Europe. And so the plan I've heard is that they want to reduce, that it would be good if there were something that would wipe out 95% of the billions of people that we have on the Earth, so that a reasonable number, 5 million, I don't know what a reasonable number is. 50 million? I have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that they have a number, so that only so many survive.
Yeah,
there's
been that discussion.
Yeah. I don't know anything about it, so I can't really talk to it. I know that we're under attack from bioweapons, and of course we're really worried about North Korea, because it's got nuclear weapons, and it has chemical weapons, and it has biological weapons.
But so do we.
And so do we. And Pakistan, and so does Syria. And Iran probably has what came out of Iraq.
Well, okay, so when you get the events, it appears as though that, you know, we're being exposed to quite a bit of radiation. Then you have the, you were talking about the methane that was, which is going to be somewhat affected by any of the earthquakes and volcanic events that are seem to be increasing around the world, right?
Well, and by man, you know, they've already let BP have another chance to drill down there.
Uh-huh.
And we already know what they did the first time. They cracked open that methane vault. It's called methane clathrates. And what happens is that under pressure, the methane attaches itself to water molecules.
Mm-hmm.
And under very high pressure, there might be 20 water molecules attached to a single methane molecule. And when the pressure is released, then the water molecules fall off. And so, you know, we knew that. We knew that this was a highly explosive situation, and the oil companies were told not to drill near those deposits. And now we're letting them. So that, you know, that's an indication of a, well, it could be an indication of a lot of things.
Right.
You know, the other methane is bubbling out of the Arctic, and it's also coming out of the tundra that is melting. The permafrost is melting, so then the tundra starts to decay again, and there are ice age bacteria that we have not been exposed to, but that is now digesting that tundra material and creating methane gas. And that, remember the fires over in Russia?
Mm-hmm.
When was that, 2 years ago, that they couldn't put out? That was because they were being fed by methane. Methane is highly explosive and flammable. When it hits the oxygen, it burns, and there's no way to put it out, really.
Well, apparently, there's just no end to the events that people need to be kind of somewhat paying attention to that's going around the globe. And yet, I want to kind of touch upon a couple other things in our last few minutes of the program. As one of them is the CMEs. Just got a few more minutes here, but I want to just briefly hit on the CMEs while we're at it.
Well, the CMEs could be a huge problem, and it could also be an extinction-level event. In fact, there's several movies out with that theme.
And these are coronal mass ejections?
Coronal mass ejections.
Okay.
And what that is a it's a very complex, strong magnetic field that moves as a cloud, and it's ejected from the sun, from the surface of the sun. And there has been a magnetic ribbon that covers almost the entire visible sun in its, what I call its northern hemisphere. And people, if you go up to spaceweather.com, they're keeping track on it. And there was one CME that was released from that. If that whole thing went, I mean, that would be disastrous. CMEs are not electrical. They are magnetic. And they are very complicated and complex and strong. So when one of them hits the Earth's magnetosphere, now our magnetosphere is also kind of complex, but it's not very strong. But, it, you know, we have a north magnetic pole and a south magnetic pole, and the electric fields line up, and they go through the core of the Earth. And the core of the Earth is iron and forget the other compound. And, of course, when you've got a magnetic field moving through a conductor, it creates a current. So when this CME, and some of them travel very fast, 1,000 kilometers per second, and they arrive in about 2 days. Some of them travel fairly slowly, 300 kilometers per second. and that it takes them 4 or 5 days to get here. So where they're going to hit depends on where the CME was released from and where the Earth was when it was released, and what, you know, because the Earth is moving around mm-hmm. the sun during those 4 or 5 days, or even the 2 days. And so it's complicated to project exactly when the CME will hit. But we know when it hits because the satellites stop. And so when you start having problems with your satellite television, you know that a CME has probably passed that satellite and you need to take cover. Now, I told you it's magnetic. And, okay, I'm going to explain this as best I can. Back in the olden days, when people were depressed, what they'd do was a lobotomy on their frontal lobe. Then they went to electroshock therapy, and they would run electricity through the frontal lobe. Well, now what they do is they do magnetic stimulation. And what happens is they run a magnetic field through the brain, and it induces a current on the nerve cells. So, you know, most of your nerves are in your brain. 99% of them are in your brain, because your brain does all your processing. So when the CME comes, it hits our magnetosphere, and where it hits, it presses the magnetosphere, the magnetic lines of force, towards the Earth. And where these magnetic lines of force move through a conductor, it creates a current. And that's how power generation stations sometimes blow out when a CME hits. And there are notable ones mm-hmm. That are listed on the Internet. People can look them up if they want. But what you have to remember is that when they go through your brain, they create currents along your nerves. Pathways. And I listen to a scanner, and listen to emergency services on the scanner, and I've correlated tentatively the fact that when there's a CME that has hit the Earth and has generated ground currents, there are many more people who fall, who have seizures, who become unconscious. You know, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. So I suggest that people put steel between themselves and the CME. And so if you have a car body that's made of steel, it has to be something that will conduct, that will stop the magnetic force lines. And that would be something that will generate a current, such as steel. And I went and bought an M16 helmet from World War II, and you better believe I wear it. When that CME, when I know when it hits, and spaceweather.com is the best source for that. They'll tell you exactly when it hit, and they'll usually post ground currents that occur. Well, and I've also noted a correlation between the ground currents and failures within our nuclear power plants.
Wow.
Electrical failures.
Which it can affect, you know, many other aspects of things in our
life.
You
want more radiation, yeah. I mean, generally when these things go through a scram, radioactive material is released into the air.
Wow. Well, Anne, I want to thank you for coming on the program, and I know we covered a pretty wide area of subjects, and I know that we could cover plenty more, because you do have quite a few things that you track for, you know, emergency preparedness. And your website's homelanddefenseforyou.com. And again, did you have any closing comments? And I'd like to invite you back again.
Well, I enjoyed being on your program. And if you want me as a guest again, I'll make myself available.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. And I want to